This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Donkey! Stop it.
I can't do it like that.
I spit.
One, two.
Okay,
one,
so.
One, two. Four, five. Knick, knack, patty, whack. Give the dog a bone. Ricardo's an old man and he rolls on home.
We're never going to get this one started because I don't even know how we're going to do this. Good evening. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 136 of Within the Trenches. And this episode, along with all the other episodes, are supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So there's been a lot of stuff going on lately. I recorded episode 135. It was a surprise guest episode. It was a very good time. And if you have not listened to it yet, make sure you do. Because by now, everybody knows who my surprise guest was. And the surprise guest was my forever co-host, Whitney, from my old PSAP out in Allegan County Central Dispatch. And I'm currently recording this, and if you heard that ding, it's because, once again, I forgot to hit my Do Not Disturb on my laptop. So hopefully that doesn't come up again. My apologies. I'm going to leave that in there because I don't care, because that's the kind of stuff that happens when you're recording, especially if you're recording at home. And I am currently sitting inside my home in my dining room. And if you can hear that, that's because I'm sitting in a chair. I'm sitting at the dinner table.
Maybe you should stop shaking your butt around.
So this is going to be good. This is going to be a good episode. So I was telling... Okay, so I'm just going to jump into this really quick then, because I had more to this intro. But like Big Mac, Rob McMullen, you are following his steps in the intro-ruption. My guest today is my beautiful wife, Rebecca. Hello.
Hello.
And we've actually been talking about doing an episode together for a while. It was about, 3 or 4 months ago when we first had this. We had a conversation where I think we were just driving around shopping or something. I don't remember exactly what it was we were doing.
It might have been at Christmas time. We might have been Christmas
Holy
shopping.
Oh, crap. Was it that long ago?
Yeah. That seems like it's probably when
it was. I think you're
right.
Yes. So around Christmas time, I think we're headed towards Target or something. And Rebecca says out of nowhere, you know, you should do a I am 911 type story, but a hashtag, but from the spouse's side. Now I can't remember exactly how you would put it.
No, that's basically what it was, just that that you talk so much about the dispatchers, and they are the main ones, and, you know, they deserve all the props that they get. It just, I think that it would be interesting, and I think it's important to see the kind of behind the scenes of the dispatchers' lives, what's happening
with their spouses and such, or boyfriend or girlfriend or whichever.
Yeah.
So that's where all that had come from. And so we had this conversation about it, and I posted it up, and everybody, you know, was saying, you know, we look forward to listening to that episode because that'll be an interesting one. And so really quick before we get to that. So episode 135, make sure to check that one out. And there are many things going on right now. It's Sunday, April 9th, 2017. And today is the beginning of National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. It's from the 9th through the 15th. And this is the week for dispatch, where they get recognized for all the crazy stuff, you know, the calls that they take. And it's not just this week, you know, that dispatch should be recognized every day, every week of all year. However, as we know, this is a thankless job. And no, we don't need a thank you every time, But when this week comes around, it's awesome when stuff happens. When I was back in dispatch in Allegan, we would get from, you know, admin and the supervisors and such, little baggies of gifts and other things, you know, these thank you notes for all the stuff that we do. And it's always good to have that. And with the I Am 911 movement, you know, when that came out, when that hit, all of these stories that went out, all of public safety, as well as the entire general public, were, their eyes were opened, and they found out exactly what dispatchers do, the kinds of calls that they take, the rare good ones that, you know, that come out as well, those good outcomes, but, you know, most of them sad and, you know, gut wrenching and horrific and such. So this is your week. Thank you for everything that you do. And, you know, I've got a video that's coming out based on the project I Am 911 photo album that's on Facebook right now for the podcast page. And those are all the pictures of dispatchers from all over the United States, and I believe maybe from Canada and a couple other countries as well. And it's just humanizing the voice within the trenches of 911. And it'll be set to the music of Bailey Johnson, who's a past guest and friend of the podcast. And her song is called I Am Waiting. And thank you, you know, for not only doing that, she wrote and performed it, and, you know, just getting it out there and sharing it and giving me permission to be able to use that. So, again, a lot of things coming up, but let's get to this. So, again, I've got my wife, Rebecca, with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it was like when I was in dispatch. And for her, because, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom and she's with the kids and was pretty much a single parent at one point.
Yeah. That was rough. It was so, rough, the times when you were working the longer days, when you like when people called in or whatever and you had to work a little bit longer.
Right. And that was really in the beginning of my dispatch career. So the dispatch career started in Florida. However, when I say the beginning of it, I mean when it began in Michigan, in over in Allegan. So when I ended up going through my training and I was full time, we were very short staffed. And I jumped in, and I believe the first weekend I was on my own after training, I got forced in for the weekend, and I had to work, which was fine. I mean, but that was the start. That's when I knew, you know, this is going to get crazy for a little while there. And, you know, at one point, you know, we didn't talk much. We were like roommates.
Yeah. Well, you were gone, you know, working a lot. And then when you were home, you were sleeping. And so it was kind of this balance between, you know, making sure that you got the sleep that you needed, but also knowing that way back then that our son got the attention that he needed from you.
Right.
And yeah, that I got the attention I needed, which usually didn't happen. We kind of
like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Let him get the attention that he needed the most. But I mean, it was just kind of passing. And there was a time when you started taking him to school, because it was like those 30 minutes of, you know, driving, being in the car, waiting for drop off and all of that, where that was your time to spend with him. And that was it.
Right.
Or you wouldn't see him.
That was probably the last year that I was in dispatch, because he was, what, in fifth grade during that time?
No, he would have been in third grade.
Oh, man. Okay. So I'm a little off. So that was,
it switched.
That was like 3 years or 2 years before I was done then.
Yeah. And then it switched back to when you were working at night. That was when you were working during the day. No, you would.
I was at night.
That was at night.
Yeah. Because
so
I only had
pretty much always that was the time that you had with him.
Yeah. So for those listening, if I've mentioned it many times, but if you don't remember, I worked midnight shift all throughout my dispatch career, except for 6 months. And that's when I became one of the supervisors. When I got my promotion, I was a low man on the pole, and I ended up working mornings for 6 months. And that was crazy at that time. We were living on the north side of Holland. So if you are familiar with West Michigan, we lived in North Holland, and I worked in Allegan, in just north of Allegan City. So that was pretty far. And I don't know, it was about, what, 45 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, so, about that. I mean, in good weather, yeah.
Right, in good weather. So what would happen is I would have to go to sleep when I was working those mornings. I would have to go to sleep around 3 in the morning to wake up. I'm sorry. Let me start again.
I was like, wow.
Let me start that again. I would go to sleep or try to go to sleep pretty early. It wouldn't work every time. But I would wake up at 3 in the morning to leave by 3:30 to get to work by 4:15 to relieve the next supervisor at 4:30. And then I worked 4:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the evening. And that sucked, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, that was not fun. I remember the first time that you went to bed early, I was like, okay, let's go to bed. And then it was like, I don't know, it was probably like 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. And I'm laying there going, what crap am I going to bed right now?
I know, that's right. So yeah, it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it was going to be my first morning shift. And I said, well, I'm going to go to sleep at 8 because I got to be up real early. And yeah, Rebecca ends up saying, okay, let's go. And we lay down, and just like she said, she but before that though, and I remember this so much because I remember laying there and I was actually tired, and I can feel you looking at me as my eyes are closed, and I open my eyes and you're staring right at me and smiling. And I said, what? And you said, do you want to have like pillow talk or something? And I was like, no. I was like, I want to go to sleep. And then you turned your head, and then that's when you yelled that out. You were like, why am I going to sleep? Why, I don't have to go to work in the morning. And I was like, exactly, I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous. Like, I'm getting up. I'm pretty sure I went and watched TV after that.
Well, and then the other problem that we ended up having was that my alarm. Was my alarm okay?
That
so
was special.
I don't remember if the first one is from Disturbed or if the first one was actually Korn.
I don't know, but it wasn't amusing the first time.
Okay, so I switched up between two different alarms, and it freaked her out every time when it would turn on. So one of them was the song "Blind" by Korn, and the first thing that the guy yells out is Jonathan Davis, the lead singer. He yells out, "Are you ready?"
Yeah, and that was the first. Yeah.
That was the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my alarm to wake up. And
I said, "No."
No, you're not ready. I remember you hitting my arm a couple times. You're like, "You need to stop. You need to change that stupid thing."
Well, because you wouldn't wake up right away.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I do believe this. Yes. So, I wouldn't wake up right away, but yeah, it was hilarious. But so that would wake me up. So then I changed it to The Sickness from Disturbed. And if you know that song, it starts with ooh wah.
Yeah, super subtle change.
Actually, it starts out with, I think it starts out with a guitar at first. And then it does that other part that I just did. But I had made my alarm to just be the ooh wah real loud. And then I would wake up.
Yeah. And so would I.
It was great. But that first time, though, when you told me to change it to harp or whatever it was, remember, that was the time that I didn't hear the alarm. I didn't wake up.
Thanks for blaming me.
No, but the reason I'm saying it is because it ended up being funny because, okay, so what I would do is I would put my phone on airplane mode. And because I didn't want to get the notifications, I didn't want to hear any notifications that would come in. So I would put my phone on airplane mode, and which really wasn't the smartest thing because of what ended up happening. And I put the alarm to harp. But again, I didn't turn it up enough, I think is what happened. And when I finally woke up.
You sleep that solidly.
Yeah, pretty much. When I finally woke up, I heard it going off and I looked at my phone. And I freaked out because it was already like 4:35 maybe, or no, 4:25. It was almost 4:30.
I don't think you ended up being late that day.
No, I didn't. Ah, crap. I might have been speeding a little bit. This was years ago.
But he called ahead and let the cops know that he was running late.
Right. So,
am I not supposed to say that?
Not that that was an excuse or anything.
No,
it wasn't. It still wouldn't have helped me. They would have given me a ticket anyway.
But I think that this was when we lived a little bit closer. We weren't as far away. Oh,
yeah, that one was. Yeah, yeah, that one was. But still, I remember standing up and freaking out, and I was swearing, and I remember I had to pee really bad. Like, that's how freaked out I was.
Your listeners wanted to know that.
Oh, we talk about a lot of stuff on this show. But yeah, I remember you waking up and you're like, what, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I showed you my phone and I said, look at the time. Look at what time it is. I'm still here. I'm supposed to be at work.
Is that the day that you had one of the dispatchers call you and they were freaking out thinking you were in a ditch? Cause you were never late ever.
I think so. Because when I took my phone off of airplane mode, I had like 12 messages from one of my coworkers, and I called and she picks up, and I think this was Tammy at the time. She picks up and she goes, Ricardo. And I said, Tammy, I'm so sorry. Tell John that I'm going to be there as fast as I can. And she's like, all right, be safe. She was like, you overslept. I said, oh my gosh, you won't. Yeah. Yeah. Can't even believe it.
That didn't happen very often for you. You were really good about being on time, if not early.
Well, I think that day was even Easter. Wasn't it a holiday?
I don't know.
I thought it was a holiday or something, but yeah, I remember that.
I've had two kids since then.
Oh man, you're gonna make me lose it. That was funny. Well, I remember you laughing at me too as I'm grabbing everything I can and throwing on clothes that I have no idea if they were dirty or not.
They probably were.
I just threw on some clothes, threw on my hat, and split to dispatch, and was freaking out the whole time. And I was just the whole way there, I was hitting the steering wheel. I remember just like stupid. Why? Oh man. Yeah, it was messed up. At least John got a little overtime out of that. I didn't get anything. I had to take like PTO or something so that I didn't get screwed on it. But either way, it was fun. But before that, going back a little bit to during the time that I was getting forced in a lot, I was working so much that I was sleeping at dispatch. Because remember, I came home that one time because I got out at 1 in the morning, drove 45 minutes to get back to the north side of Holland, went to sleep, and then drove right back because the shift started at 9 or something like that. Or no, at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only 4 hours between. Yeah, there was no reason that I should have gone home. Well, because I didn't think about it at the time, but I went. I remember I got home and I was laying on the couch and you came into the living room and you said, what are you doing? I said, I got forced in. I have to go back to work at 5. I have to leave here at like 4. And that,
you know, and it was really hard because you couldn't really plan anything. We couldn't plan family outings or things like that. At least to me, it felt like we couldn't because there's always that chance that, you know, you're going to get forced over and then all the plans are going to change. And so we never really made solid plans because we didn't want to have to tell Logan, oh, never mind. You know, him get excited about something and then not
Yay, Dad gets to go with us and then nothing.
So I think because of that, that's why we are super spontaneous about stuff. And I hate it. Because it's like I'm forced into spontaneity because of how things were before.
Right.
We just felt like we had to just kind of roll with it. And I'm a very, like, I want to know, I can do spontaneous. I can do it.
Rebecca's more of a planner.
But yeah, like I want to know.
I do things on the fly.
What we're doing, you know, like what I need to bring so that I'm prepared. And
so I need to bring a dish. You know,
okay, not a dish. But I mean, like, you know, how long we're going to be gone or, you know, because I'm the one that's running around packing if we do a weekend trip or, you know, different things like that. So I do. Right. I like to know in advance, you know, just how much of the laundry I need to get done before we leave.
Right.
but that was really hard. And I think that that's something that's just carried over because we're not good planners.
Yeah.
At all.
No. And I think it's largely because of working in dispatch all those years. Yeah. We couldn't plan for anything.
Yeah. That was hard. Even birthdays.
Right. Yeah. Because so, you know, for when I was in Allegan, every other weekend I had off and we could plan for that weekend, but I would work on the weekend that I would have off. I would work on Friday from 4:30 at night to 4:30 in the morning. And that's when I ended up switching back to nights there. And what would suck is that if somebody called in on Saturday morning, you know, you've got a 12-hour shift that ends up getting split between three people unless somebody calls in to take the overtime. Otherwise, you're screwed. The good thing, though, was that if you volunteer for it, you get to choose which one you would want. So a lot of times if we had a birthday party or we were going to a cookout or we were hosting a cookout and we had a bunch of people going, I would volunteer no matter how close I was on top of the force in list, because if you volunteer and you're on top of the force in list, you stay at the top or you stay wherever you are in line. It's only if you get forced that you go to the bottom. So whether I was on the top or middle or wherever, I would volunteer for it so that I would get the first choice and I would work from 4:30 in the evening all the way to 9 in the morning. And there was my 16-hour shift. And then I would drive home and sometimes I wouldn't even sleep. I would just stay awake the rest of the time.
Yeah, I remember one of Logan's birthdays specifically, that's what we had to do. You called me and told me that you were going to get forced in. And I remember that I was livid. I was so mad.
You were pissed.
Because we had all this stuff going on and I was going to be doing it all by myself.
So how pissed I knew she was going to be. I took it off of a recorded line and I went to a different line that wasn't recorded so that nobody could play that back.
Probably said bad words.
That was a pretty harsh one. But yeah, I mean, we couldn't plan for anything. And I think that's why a lot of the times, you know, our family over there, they kind of stopped inviting us for certain things because
we couldn't go.
We couldn't ever go. Everyone, they would invite all the time and I'd say, I got to work that day. I already got forced for that day. Or it would, you know, I'm working that day already or something. And
for a long time we just had the one car.
That
we didn't
too.
Have two cars. So it's not even like I could take the kids and go.
Right. Yeah. So, wow, man, that kind of sucked.
Yeah,
that sucked it did. A lot.
Wait, for you or for me?
Oh, for you guys.
Okay.
I didn't even
just
think about that.
Just making sure that.
Yeah, well, shit. I didn't think about how crazy it was for you guys because we didn't have a car and I worked 12 hours.
Yeah, luckily I had friends who were willing to come and get me to hang out and different things like that. So that was nice. And then I got my car and there was freedom. But it was really hard, and I think that it put a lot of strain on our relationship mm-hmm. and how we interacted with each other. But I specifically remember, I don't know if you remember, when you were doing days mm-hmm. and I don't know, it had been, you know, probably a month or two, maybe a little bit more. And we were constantly bickering and just like, oh, it was so annoying. Like I can think about it now. And I was so annoyed with you. And and then it occurred to me one day, it's because we don't know how to function when you're home at night.
Like oh, I have yeah, my, yeah. I remember.
I was like, we don't know how to work like this because I have my, you know, my stuff that I do at night. We have our schedule and, you know, like we just do our thing and you kept trying to help and your helping was not helping. It was just making you're like, well, what about this? And I'm like, just don't. I've been doing this for years.
I'm hoping that those who are listening can relate. I'm sure they can. I've had conversations with people who have said similar things. But yeah, so okay. So I'm working days and I come home and
try to help.
I'm there. Yeah, I'm there and I'm not sure what to do. So I'm trying to help as much as possible. And I remember putting the dishes in the dishwasher and you're just kind of looking at me. I'm like, what? Let me do it. I'm like, okay. Well, I was just trying to help.
Okay. But let's talk about how you load the dishwasher.
Well, I was just throwing shit in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that had anything to do with.
Right. But I'm just saying that was part of the routine or everyday thing.
Yeah, I have a process.
That you were doing and stuff. And we had to learn in those 6 months, which we got good. Everything got good. But in the beginning, that was those first month or so, we were like cats and dogs.
It was. And I mean, it wasn't like all out fighting. It was just kind of like we were annoyed with each other. It wasn't, you know, like fighting. It was just kind of like, oh my gosh, stop.
Right.
I need you to go and sit down and don't touch anything.
Which I was fine with, because she would just be like, here's a cold beer and go sit down. And
I did not say that.
No, but it was more like Logan and I would go play outside. But yeah.
Yeah. Just let me do what I do kind of thing. But we obviously adjusted because now you work and are home at night. And
right. Yeah. So that got better, but it was. It didn't go backwards or anything. That's not what I was trying to say. It continued forward. It just was different because then I went back to nights and then I was there during the day instead of the evening. So we just applied what we had learned doing that in the evening to morning time.
Yeah. It was just, it was a learning curve for sure. For sure. And we were talking about before we started recording that, about the stories that you would come home and talk about. And, I still remember the first time that we went to a party and, you know, as you would come home and you would tell me the ones that you really needed to get off of your chest. And I am I'm a sensitive person. And so like, if somebody is crying, I'm totally a sympathetic crier. I feel other people's, you know, pain and emotions and things like that. And so reason number one, why I know I could never be a dispatcher because I internalize other people's feelings too much. But you would tell me, and I knew that you needed to talk about it. And so I would just let it be. And I seriously will never forget the first time we went to, I think it was a cookout with, some friends.
Yeah. Some of the deputies that I worked with.
And I'm standing next to him and he's telling this story and it's hilarious. And I'm going, why don't I get those stories? I just remember thinking, why do I get all of the hard ones? And so when we left, I said something to him. I was just like, you got to give me some of the light stories. And so I think that it was like maybe a week later, he's like, you know how you wanted a light story? I'm like, yeah, I remember.
Right.
And you said, so I got this call about spam.
That's right.
I was like, no, you didn't. And he said, yeah, there was a guy who called 911 because someone was throwing out his spam.
That's right. So I've told this call before on the podcast many times, but it was a domestic call, which I always have to preface this with: domestics are not funny. They're not funny at all. However, there are some domestics that there's no no physical anything to it. It's just a funny thing. So when I tell you this story, you'll understand. Because nothing with domestic is funny.
No, when it's physical or
anything like that. But this guy calls, and I believe he was in his 40s, and his girlfriend was in her mid to late 60s. And they lived at a friend's house, but they lived behind this house in a camper trailer. And he was yelling, or he's on the phone, and he's yelling, and he's saying, you know, I need an officer to get out here because my girlfriend and I, we've been arguing. And she's in her camper trailer that we live in, and she's just going crazy. And I, you know, I got the address, I got all the pertinent information, and I asked if anybody had been assaulted, if there was any weapons or anything like that. And he said no. And he goes, "There's nothing like that going on. We're separated right now. She's in the camper trailer. She's throwing out my spam, sir. You need to get somebody out here right now. She's throwing out all of my spam." And he's yelling at her, and she yells back, "Well, you don't eat that shit anyway." And I'm trying not to laugh. And I thought, this is the story that I need to tell Rebecca. when I get home because I bombarded her with all of these crazy stories. And I honestly, at the time, I didn't think about how that would affect you. You know, me telling you all of these horrific stories, especially the ones that had to do with kids and stuff, or suicide callers or anything like that. I didn't think about how it would impact you, me telling you all this horrific stuff. So then when we're at that cookout, and actually you said it in front of everybody.
Did I say it?
Yeah, you said it in front of everybody. You hit me on my arm and you're like, hey, why don't you ever tell me those stories? And I'm like, what?
What stories?
Yeah. And everybody else was saying too, they're like, what are you talking about? And then you said that. And then everybody looked at me. I was like, I don't know. Well,
and you know, and it's not that you just told like the really, hard stories. It's, you know, but I mean, you would tell me ones that were, like crazy, like, whoa, I can't believe that something like that happened or, you know, like that, but you never really told funny ones. And so it was, hearing it for the first time, I was like, wait, there are funny stories that come out of there. Right. But I remember, I do remember one, it was one of your first calls was the only funny story that I remember you telling me. And it was only funny because of your reaction to it. And then they knew, the dispatchers knew who the person was. And so, they were laughing at you while you were taking the call. Do you remember that?
No, what was it?
It was someone who called, and I think that she was telling you that someone was trying to saw through the floor of her trailer to get into her house.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know that, like, I mean, there was no one.
Right, yeah.
But I think that your delivery of the story is what made it so hilarious, because all of your coworkers were laughing at you because they knew who it was.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Who had called.
And I thought it was a real thing. And I was, that was one of the first ones that I had taken in Allegan. And I was freaking out because I thought, ah, this is crazier than the small police department that I used to work at where the call volume wasn't that, you know, that great. And this one was coming in and it turned out it was, you know, like a frequent flyer that was calling in. They'd always call in, you know, BS calls. But, you know, when calls like that come in, you can't just push it off. You gotta stay with it all the way. But they're laughing, and I'm wondering why. Well, and then I found out later why.
Yeah.
but yeah, and but going back really quick though to the time that we were living on the north side of Holland, we were living in this apartment complex, and this is how tired and destroyed I was from working tons and tons of overtime in dispatch. I come home from a 1-to-1 shift and I get home probably about 1:30, 1:45 in the morning, something yep. like that. And I go to lay down to go to bed and I'm beat. It was a crazy night. I'm pretty sure it was a full moon because of all the calls that I had taken, the types of calls, and because of what Rebecca is about to say that happened.
Okay. So I hear him. I mean, he comes in to the room and everything. And so I woke up and I realized that there, just a little bit later, there were people outside arguing and I was like, what is going on? And so I got up, I mean, I've got a little kid in the apartment with us. And so I got up and I looked out the window and, as I looked out the window, a car backs up into someone.
I don't mean to laugh. I shouldn't be laughing, but.
And, I mean, the guy, shoe went flying off and I was like, what is going on? And I was like, babe, somebody just got hit by a car. Should we call 911? And your response was,
no, they'll be fine. I'm sure somebody has already called. I'm going to bed. I did enough with 911 for today.
Such a good dispatcher. And they did.
Actually,
I mean, the cops were there.
The officers showed up just a little bit after that dude got clocked in the car.
Yeah, somebody, I'm sure.
So somebody had already called.
They had to have called when they heard the arguing because.
Well, it was a crazy fight. There was a bunch of people outside. I remember looking outside and seeing them.
That was a different time.
Oh, that was a different one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the guy got hit by a car. Same people.
Okay. Yeah. So
different time. So
we lived in some ghetto apartments during that time.
Yeah. So just a probably like a minute or two later, the cops showed up and stuff. But the time that you're talking about is when there was a fight inside the apartment that was next to us, and it ended up outside. And I looked out the window and could see their front step and could see that there was blood on the front step. Apparently somebody broke a bottle and cut somebody on the head. So it was a lot of blood, not a serious injury though. but cops were called for that too. That was, we lived in a very special area.
Yeah. Yeah. And for all of these who know or do not know, dispatchers don't get paid a lot of money. So, you know, we were living where we could live.
Yeah.
Based on the income that I was bringing in.
Yeah. And really we didn't have that many crazy neighbors. There were some really nice neighbors, but those ones were extra special.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Every time they had a party, there was something. I remember one time when you weren't there, there was somebody who ended up, like a girl who was yelling at a guy, "No, don't touch me. Leave me alone." And I was really freaked out. And so I was standing at the window and I had my phone ready to call 911. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of girls came and got her and took her home. But I think that the way she was being carried, she was just super drunk and the guy was trying to help her get up.
Well, that's good. At least
that's not what I thought was happening. And
right.
And the girls came and got her. And from hearing what they were saying to her, they were like, "You know what? You're going home. This is ridiculous. We're done." And I'm like, "We have to move."
Yeah. Well, and then eventually when we ended up moving to the city of Zeeland, which was very nice, you know, to live there and stuff, there was another thing that ended up happening that, you know, dealt with 911. And we were about to order Chinese, remember? And I had Logan run in and tell you that I was running across the street. And that
I was like, "I want my food."
Yeah. Until you found out exactly what was going on. So, Logan and I we were going to call outside because in the area that we were at, our cell reception wasn't that great until we switched to Verizon. Yeah.
Plug.
Right. But anyway, Logan and I had gone outside with this, with the menu, because we were going to call in and then go pick it up. And then I hear an elderly woman yelling for help, and we're looking around and we don't see anything. And we walk forward a little bit from our front door and looking again, and I don't see anything, but you can hear her. And then I look down in the driveway from the building that's across the street from us, which was
a rehabilitation center.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was an adult home.
It was like in between hospital and being able to go back home kind of thing.
Okay. Well, so I look across and I see this elderly woman who is lying on the cement on the parking lot. And I give him the menu and tell him to run inside and tell, you know, Rebecca what's going on. And I run over there. I haul butt over there. And I remember, you know, when you and I would go, even now sometimes, you know, when we would go to the grocery store or something, I would say, "I wonder if somebody were to pass out here, excuse me, if I would be able to jump in and help someone." And I remember you telling me, like, "You come from 911. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to do it because it's different over the phone rather than face to face."
No, but you just have that personality. I feel like where if you can help, you will. And you click into "I know what to do" mode and there's no panic. Like, panic leaves you. You just know what to do and do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's pretty much what happened with this one, because I ran over there and, you know, you're not supposed to move anyone unless they're in danger. And, you know, I asked her if she was okay. And she said, "Yes." She's like, "Where did you come from?" And I said, "I was just across the street." And she goes, "Oh, you're like my guardian angel. You just came out of nowhere." And I felt so happy that I was able to help her up. And I asked her what had happened. And she said that she had been carrying her heavy bags of groceries and her legs just gave out on her. And she went forward. Well, even though I asked her if everything was okay and if she was hurt or anything, there was actually something wrong with her. When I lifted her up, her forehead she had scraped her forehead and she just started bleeding, like crazy bleeding. And there was a nurse that was standing in the doorway and she's looking out and she's just like throwing her arms up. And I'm because yelling at her, come over here, come outside.
Those, they locked those right. sets
and
of
so
doors.
She's trying to open the door and she can't get it unlocked. And then she comes out and I don't remember what the lady's name was, but I'm just going to make it up.
Agnes.
We'll go with Agnes. I was going to say Doris.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Agnes.
Oh, okay. Well, she says, Agnes, what did you do? What's going on? Like it was nothing. And I say to her, ma'am, do you not realize that she's bleeding like crazy here? And I had taken her sweater off that she had and put it on her forehead and pressed, just like it says in our EMD cards, everything that it says to do, I was doing. And, you know, they were asking, you know, who I was and where I'm from and all this other stuff. And I said, is anybody going to call 911 or not? And they said, well, yeah, I guess we can. And I said, well, I'm going to call right now because, I mean, she needs help. She's got to go somewhere because the blood is not stopping. And they said, okay, all right. So I call 911 and I start going through my protocols and stuff, which is funny because the dispatcher, everything she went to ask, I was already answering it and going through. And she goes, where are you from? I said, oh, this is Ricardo from Allegan. They're like, oh, hey, what's going on? And I said, well, this person here is hurt and no one seems to care. And I remember looking at the nurses and they just kind of looked at me and, well, we do care. I was like, no.
Oh, I remember the first one that came out. She was more interested in her sucker that she was trying to open.
That's true. She was. She was walking out there and struggling to open her sucker.
Mm-hmm.
What a fool. Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
But all these crazy different times, all these different things that happened, you know, while I was in dispatch.
When we had lived at that place for like a week, maybe not even a week, and the bomb squad was over there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that place, yeah, the Grand Rapids bomb squad ended up going out there. And I remember my brother calling and he's like, what's going on, man? I said, dude, there's a bomb squad across the street at this place. And he goes, oh, somebody got cut out of the will. Oh, man. Well,
good times.
So as we go into the wrap up of this episode, I'm glad we finally got a chance to do this. This was fun. Yeah,
I feel like I didn't say anything very deep.
Yeah, but you did. Just wait till we do the playback and you listen to it.
I don't think I want to hear it.
Oh, no. You said a lot as a spouse, as an I am 901 spouse, and you know how you dealt with it. And I thank you very much for putting up with my butt. I was going to say the other word, but our daughter Lola is standing right in front of us.
Hi,
do you want
Lola
to come and say hi
come
really
say
quick?
Hi.
She's walking around right now. By
are you coming
us
to mine or to dad's? Mine.
Okay, so she's going all the way around the other side now to say hello really quick. This is our five and a half year old daughter.
Hi.
Here.
I'm going to put the headset on here really quick. All right, now say hello.
Hi.
Did you hear yourself? She's laughing to herself.
Do you want to say anything else? No? Okay.
Well, again, thank you very much for you being on this episode and telling your side of the story and, you know, the things that we went through. You know, anybody listening to this, hopefully you were able to get something out of this and learn from Rebecca and how she dealt with it as, you know, a spouse. But do you have any words or anything that you can tell, you know, because I'm sure there are couples out there, either side, that are that have dealt with what we dealt with and how hard it was, you know, working a lot and everything. So any advice that you have to get through those hard times?
You know what? Looking back, I really wish that that we had made more time for just us, where it wasn't about work, it wasn't about the kids, it wasn't about any of that stuff. And I wish that that we had gone to some kind of counseling, because I think that it would have made things a lot smoother. Because I know that we didn't fight a lot, you know, or things like that, but I think it would have helped us to understand each other.
Right.
Because a lot of times I didn't understand why you were... the word I'm thinking of is flippant, but I don't think that that's the right word, just about the bad calls. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand how you could be that way about it. And now looking back, I realize that you had to be that way about it. You had no choice, because if you internalized it the way I did, then it was gonna be a bigger struggle for you. And I think just listen as a spouse, listen to what they have to say, even if it's hard, even if it's, even if it makes you sad to listen to what they are talking about or what they have had to deal with, they need to talk about it. They need to get it out. And, because it's what they do every day. They don't need to carry that by themselves. And that's kind of what a lot of people do. And I would love it if it's okay with you, if you have, spouses share their stories too on your page or something. I would love to hear other people's stories and sides of things.
We'll see if we can make that happen. Yeah.
Well, I called it out.
I know you called it out. We're gonna see what happens. Well, again, thank you very much, babe, for being on. I love you very much.
I love you too.
And for those who are listening, if you have any comments or questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @901podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this episode, well, before I say where this can be heard, again, there are many, many things going on. We're trying to catch up on a lot of the stories that are going out from IM911. I think we are answering stories now from September 2016. And again, it is April 2017. There are many, many stories to come out. I am putting together a couple episodes for Imagine Listening. And if you don't know what Imagine Listening is an expansion of the podcast that is or features the stories from the IM911 movement. So I've got two of them, excellent ones that are coming up. You do not want to miss those. And again, happy National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. This is your week, and it's April 9th through the 15th. And I am going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana for the 2017 Navigator Conference. So make sure to find me there. And if you're going to be in my class during that conference or Indiana NINA, make sure you come prepared with stories to tell. And I'm also going to have cards for you to fill out your IM901 stories. Again, do not put your name on it, because this is how we're going to keep you anonymous. And we're going to tell those stories and record it for an episode of Imagine Listening. So this episode, along with all the other episodes, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and thejabberlug.com. And this episode, along with all the others, are supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. Have a good one, everyone.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.